Oh, like, because when I shot, I expected to make it. So, like, I don't shoot trying to miss.
You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's going on, and welcome to episode number 1013 of Locked On Raptors for Thursday, September the 2nd. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean. You can find the show at Locked On Raptors. We can find links to every single episode of the podcast. And of course, please make sure to check out the entirety of the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On NBA. There's lots of stuff going on over on Locked On NBA right now, talking about Ben Simmons, season preview stuff. I highly recommend you go check it out. Different hosts every single day of the week, all day, every day, 5 days a week. Yeah, Monday to Friday. It's not a 24-hour podcast. That was weird framing. They do take breaks, but it's just, you know, half an hour every day for you to listen to Locked On NBA. So go subscribe. You can also subscribe to this podcast on all your favorite platforms as well, and subscribe on YouTube. We're about at 500 subscribers, which is amazing, and I would like to see us bump past that before the next time we do an episode. All right, on today's show, we're talking about, as teased off in the cold open, if you're watching video, about Delano Banton, and by extension, the sort of new identity that is coming into vision here for your Toronto Raptors. Call it vision 6'9", call it just a return to normalcy from being in Tampa for a year and kind of being lost at sea, but it does seem as though the Raptors are kind of getting some of their identity back, and so we're going to talk today with our wonderful guest Katie Heindel about that, and of course her recent piece about Delano Banton over at Yahoo Sports. Let's bring her in now. Katie Heindel, welcome to the show. How's it going?
Good. You should call this Inside the Raptor Studio with Sean.
We could do that. I think the poobah is at Lockdown.
Yeah, they might not
appreciate
like
the name change, but yeah,
I'm good. I'm good, man. Yeah,
that's good. I'm glad. I'm glad you were able to take some time to join the show after becoming a lame swimming influencer these last couple weeks.
Yeah, man. So I love it.
It's nice to be in the presence of fame.
And you know I have a hard out because I have to go swim.
Yes, yes. We are currently on the clock as we record on this Thursday morning, this fine Thursday morning, as Lane Swim beckons 40 minutes from now for you. Let's get into it here, Katie. You know, we'll talk about your piece off the top, and then we'll kind of get into a broader discussion of the Raptors team identity and all that. But you wrote a piece down in Summer League, or you collected all the quotes for it, I presume, down in Summer League, and then wrote it afterwards, about Delano Banton, who, of course, was just drafted by the Raptors in the second round, one of their 2 second-round picks. The guy who wears a jersey number in honor of the Rexdale bus route he used to take, which is just awesome, and he's going to be an instant fan favorite, already is. You know, you got to talk to him at Summer League, you got to talk to Patrick Mutombo about him at Summer League. What was your sort of lasting impression, your first impression, I suppose, as well, sitting down with Delano Banton down in Summer League?
He's so nice. He's so nice. He's so excited. He's genuinely just, like, it's really it's not funny. It's actually like made me feel pretty lucky. But to sit with someone and ask them questions about kind of their thought process going into Summer League, and then asking them to look ahead going into the season, and seeing them still waffle between like being absolutely floored, you know, and just like still in awe of what happened, and also processing the fact that now they get to play for, like, for him, he was like, you know, it was my dream to get drafted. But like to get drafted by the Raptors, like that's something that growing up in Toronto, you kind of wish for. He's like, but you don't really think. Like it's almost like the odds of that are less, right, than getting drafted.
Yeah.
Overall. So to kind of watch him toggle between those things as we talked. And I think to have it like the reality dawn on him a little bit more was pretty special. And yeah, Patrick Mutombo, like hearing him talk about Delano, but also hearing him talk about this whole team, like he really believes in them. He really thinks they're just a group of really good kids, he said, you know, really good people. And he's so caring, which like I don't think gets enough of a fair shake in coaching. You know what I mean? Like he's tough as hell. And like I saw that too. Like, you know, I got to see both sides of that on the court and off, but just the amount of gratitude he also has in his players. You know, one thing that he said that stuck with me was just like, they're really young and we're asking so much of them. So it's only really natural that like we're upholding the same, you know, we have to sure. hold ourselves to the same standards we're asking them to like step up to, whether that's playing mm-hmm. or just kind of, you know, learning how to navigate the world of the NBA and being a professional player. So I'm super stoked to see Delano in Toronto because I think he's going to have another one of those recognition kind of surreal moments, right? Like, how could he not? Mm-hmm. Especially with mm-hmm. them getting to come back now. Like, and that's something that I think is going to be more twofold, like even more, because even the team, maybe they've told him a little bit what it's like, but they've also forgotten, you know, because they've been away for a season.
Sure.
It'll be cool.
Yeah, I can't wait. He's also going to have one of those realization moments when he's playing in Mississauga as well for the first time. It's a whole new ball yes. game, but a different sort of wild crowd. And that's where I kind of want to go with this next. So, you know, it seems as though Banton's going to play a lot in the G League this season. You know, there's lots to work on there. As you kind of talk about in his piece, he's really focused on working on his jump shot and kind of expanding upon the very impressive fluid physical tools that already exist there. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I was asked a question about this in the mailbag yesterday, and I think Banton's going to kind of be one of the central figures of the 905 this season. Obviously, Patrick Mutombo, the summer league coach, is the 905 coach again this season. He finally gets a full actual G League season to kind of implement the Raptors, you know, whatever it is, developmental experimentation or whatever it is they've got going on down there. You know, did you talk at all to Delano about the prospect of being in the G League for a long stretch? Obviously, you know, he's got the relationship with Patrick Mutombo already from Summer League. Did you get into that? Maybe it hit the cutting room floor, I'm not sure. But, you know, do you get an impression that he's excited about that G League sort of experience that seems to be very much on tap for him?
Oh, no, you cut out. Okay, you're back.
Oh, okay, I'm back.
Yeah, we didn't talk about the 905 specifically, but we did talk sure. about development. And one thing that he'd said was that, you know, he grew up here, so he's seen Fred VanVleet, he's seen Pascal Siakam, he's seen all these guys go through the G League developmental system. You know, he was like, sure. they get them going. He said they get them to their second contracts, which honestly is a really, like, I appreciated that. It's a thing that I don't think also gets talked about enough, especially when you look at players that make the rounds kind of through the G League. It's, like, wild enough to get a first contract, but the security of a second one, you know, and to not have to, like, bounce around so much anymore. Like, that's extremely meaningful mm-hmm. to a young player coming in the league who's looking at time, like, substantial time in the G League. And I think hopefully we'll get some minutes on the floor in Toronto. But I thought that was pretty just like upfront and honest of him. But more than that, I think he was super excited just about the potential of expanding his game. Like all the guys mm-hmm. I spoke to on the Raptors Summer League team that will now come and play in Toronto were like similarly excited about that. Versatility was a word that kept coming up, that like they kept bringing up. For Delano, yeah, like his thing is obviously his length. Just like real, like such a springy, stretchy player, and like learning how to use that, learning how to like put brakes on himself a little bit, you know, like to slow down. It's interesting. I don't want to compare their games because I don't really think it's the same. But it did remind me of early days Pascal when it was like he didn't really know how to stop himself or slow down. And like part of that explosiveness was what made him so good and unpredictable on the floor, right? Because like, you know, if you're guarding him, you don't really know which way he's gonna go. I think that's what like the spin move actually came out of. I think for Delano it's the same thing, but Delano, he has a lot of those skills intact already. I was like really, I don't know, heartened to see in Vegas. And like, mm-hmm. he really seemed to be learning on the fly, you know, from their first game to their last game, just the things he was watching for and trying a little bit of like, you know, playmaking. And the fact that he talked about he was like short for a really long time, he said, and he had a crazy growth spurt in college, but like his coaches kept him at point. So he got to kind of see the game from a different way that way. And Mutombo talked too about the fact that like his natural height makes him such a good player in that position because he can see over the defense, you know, like he can see kind of like out beyond the guy in front of him and to see like what's all happening. So once he kind of learns to put all that stuff together, which I think he will. It's also incredible that he gets to keep working on this with Patrick. You know, he doesn't have to switch to another coach and try and like reconcile a new voice. It'll just be like a hopefully smooth continuation over from summer league.
Yeah, and the thing with Banton too that's really exciting is that it, you know, a lot of the stuff that he already has in his sort of tool shed, you know, stuff you can't really teach, right?
Yeah.
Like height, vision, like fluid movement and athleticism. Like, you can teach a guy to shoot, you can't teach a guy to be a great surveyor of the floor, or it's more difficult to do that than it is to teach a guy to shoot, and that's really exciting stuff. It's not like they've just taken this sort of raw, you know, unidentifiable, misshapen blob of a player. Like, there's lots of stuff that's already there that they just got to shape things around and sort of trim up the edges, and it's going to be really exciting to see it. And then we're talking about development and versatility and defense, and these all sound like things that we know the Raptors for, and we're going to dive in next into just kind of a look at, are the Raptors back on the road to rediscovering an identity? Because they did not have one at all last season. You know, lots of sort of, you know, markers of what the team had been before left before the season began. The season was obviously a war of attrition and, you know, caused a lot of sort of, you know, decay in terms of what we typically expect from the Raptors. We're going to get into whether they're on the road back to having identity in just one second here. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Sweat Block. And look, yes, it's an uncomfortable thing to talk about sometimes. People sweat a lot. It's okay. And as the world gets hotter and more hellish, you're probably going to sweat more, and that's totally fine. I sweat a lot. I'm okay to say it. You've probably seen it if you watch me on video and literally anything. And so Sweatblock is a wonderful product that's come along to try and help people like me as Katie cackles at my sweatiness. But look, Sweatblock, again, they're going to help you out with your sweating problems, and they're going to do so with their wonderful products like their Sweatblock antiperspirant wipes. Sweatblock is stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply apply it at night before bedtime, go to bed. The next morning you wake up, wash, and go about your day without worrying about sweat. Guaranteed. They have a dry shirt guarantee where you get your money back if it doesn't keep you dry. That is quite the promise, and it sounds too good to be true, but guess what? It works. I've used it, and it's awesome, and I don't have to pick my shirts based on the color anymore, and I don't have to be worried about, you know, pitting out when I'm out in public. It's wonderful, and it's life-changing, and just outstanding. If you or someone you love is dealing with this problem, you got to check out Sweatblock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, or at Amazon or CVS. Today's show is also brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Get your TV together. It's a wonderful time right now. We've got lots of sports. We've got lots of things going on. We've got you know, new shows beginning up. I'm not sure what kind of network shows begin in September, but I know Succession's coming up soon. You want to watch all these things in the same place as opposed to toggling between 7 different devices and 9 different remotes. Why you have 2 extra remotes for your devices, I don't know. But in this hypothetical situation, you do. And you can fix your TV toggling problem with DirecTV Stream. It brings you live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right, Katie, let's dive back in here to the question of the Raptors' identity. If you listen to this podcast throughout the regular season in 2020-21, you and I talked a lot about the sort of lack of identity for last year's Raptors team. After a good decade or a half decade or close to a decade of the team having very much a defined identity and it kind of being predictable every season coming in of what you're going to expect from the team. Lost last year a little bit, COVID, Tampa, you know, departures of Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka, lots of sort of institutional knowledge out the door, and it really did seem like kind of a, you know, just like kind of a buoy without any sort of tether, just kind of bouncing out in the open sea without much in the way of direction. It does seem like things are coming back into shape a little bit here, Katie, so I want to ask you, like, this was something that was on your mind all season last year when we spoke. Do you feel as though identity is creeping back into the Raptors? And if so, like, what kind of identity do you see taking shape here?
I mean, no, I don't think it's going to be back right away just because there's so many new players and we don't really understand what their identities are. But I also think that's
sure
natural. I do think that's also what I expected. They're going to miss Lowry, like,
Yeah.
They're gonna miss him, of course, in the locker room, but I think we watching and they on the floor kind of like understanding, oh yeah, this is what basketball is going to be like without him. That's mm-hmm. going to be something they're going to have to play through that might look a little spotty at first. Mm-hmm. One thing I keep coming back to also just based on the conversations I had in Summer League was the fact that last year's Raptors, like, I don't know if you remember at the beginning of the season, they talked a lot just about because they were so adrift, they were mm-hmm. going to try and dig down and play a lot of defense and rely on this thing that they had been, you know, kind of known for.
Sure.
I'd say at least throughout the tenure of like DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, but then they were terrible. Like the defense was a mess last season to start. So, I mean, I remember that with a little bit of irony because it mm-hmm. was like, well, if you can't even rely on that, like, I don't know what this team is. And I think that's mm-hmm. what happened. But I also believe that that's a really good place to start with these guys and this team this year, like just try and get some fundamental sort of basics down, get like the new guys into the groove of playing alongside Fred and OG and Pascal. You know, I really like obviously that Kem's come back because I think he's mm-hmm. going to be a huge indicator of how things are progressing for the team on that end. And he seemed to fit mm-hmm. into it pretty like fluidly. Even just like in the few games we got to see him play at the end of last season. But I mean, I'm actually more hopeful than I am depressed about the lack of team identity because it just means like this is always what was going to happen if Kyle Lowry left, you know? You wouldn't... Mm-hmm. The team has to start from scratch in a way. Like it has to become its own thing again. Like its own brand new thing again because as long as Lowry's like fingerprints were all over it, it would just still be Lowry's team. And like I don't really want it to be Lowry's shadow team. It really hurts me to say that, but like this will be a new Raptors team. Like I'm not a big proponent of like the We the North slogan to begin with, mostly because it was an advertising tool. But if you want to look at this and be like, is this the We the North team anymore? Like maybe not. And like maybe that's a good thing. And I think they probably should move on from that because it's like the core is now it's Fred and Pascal and OG. Boucher, I'd say as well, you know, and then you have this like totally new. You have almost like this double cohort of rookies. Like I know Malachi's not a rookie anymore, but he never got this experience of playing in Toronto. So you almost have this like double cohort of rookies that will just be like learning in real time together. So I don't know. I like Masai's vision of like a giant, long monster team. I really like it. Mm-hmm. It might look really ugly and weird, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And I think that's something that like the team was missing pretty desperately last season.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm a little bit closer to thinking that there's already kind of an identity forming here. We won't know for sure what it's going to look like exactly until it's on the floor. It's all nice on paper to envision, you know, the collection of 6'9" dudes and Fred just kind of, you know, playing the way that you envision a team like that is going to play. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think the nice thing is that, yes, it's no longer Kyle Lowry's team. And I think you're right in that, you know, one of the arguments in favor of just kind of letting Kyle walk was that it was never going to be Fred or Pascal or OG's team until Kyle was no longer in town. And now you have the opportunity for Fred to take over. We talked like a couple weeks ago with Vivek about how it's kind of Fred's team. Even if he's not the best player, he's very much like the voice in the room and the frontward facing guy. And the nice thing is that Fred VanVleet has 5 years of working with Kyle Lowry and in the Raptors sort of construct back in the days where they definitely had an identity to kind of bring that knowledge forward to today. And so I think what's nice is it's going to be kind of like a mismatch of the identity of the previous teams. I think in terms of the way they play defense, I think in terms of the way they culture build, I think in terms of development as well, and having that sort of shadow core that you mentioned. I mean, that was their bread and butter for a long time, and it led to a lot of really big moves and trades that kind of completed the championship puzzle. And I think they're really, you know, to kind of go back to our conversation about the 905, it does feel like they're back in development mode in a way they were not last year and could not be last year because they didn't have the picks on hand because they traded them away to win a title and they didn't have the proper G League sort of structure and they were, you know, hampered by that. Probably more than most teams because of how much they typically rely on the 905 and the G League to kind of be a supplementary sort of arm of the team. More so than a lot of other teams do. And so I think the development's back. I think you're seeing the, you know, the sort of reforming of the leadership group. And I think there's a lot there to like. It's guys with championship equity, guys who have been there. And you have that sort of those relics of the past, not really relics, but just like the sort of fence posts of the past coming together with this sort of new vision for future basketball, which is very exciting. And I think you can point to guys like Scottie Barnes and Delano Banton coming in and kind of bringing that refreshed energy and bringing in that sort of versatile skill set that they definitely want to sort of shape whatever the next version of the team is going to look like. So yeah, maybe they haven't quite established things just yet, but I think they're well on their way with the moves they've made. And just sort of looking at the personnel, it feels like they're going to be able to play the way they want to play. They're going to be able to play Raptors basketball, which is, you know, not very good on offense, incredible on defense, turn defense into offense and all that. Like, it seems like they're going to be able to bring that all back. And, you know, again, we have to see how it works in practice, and it's probably going to, you know, see some growing pains as they, you know, acclimate to life without Kyle Lowry. But, you know, there's plenty of guys who are sort of steeped in the Raptors sort of model, if we're going to sound hokey, like the tradition of the Raptors or whatever, that they can bring it forward to this new vision and kind of combine the best of both worlds, I think, if that makes any sense whatsoever.
But that's a cool thing that I think that isn't that hokey, because I don't actually believe that the Raptors have had that up to now, because the Raptors haven't had a franchise player like Lowry that basically, like, I know he didn't start with the team, but like his career, I think like the important part of his career may well have, you know, like, and I think he says that too. But like to see a player kind of develop an arc through that, win it, like all the way to winning a title and then leave, like the Raptors have never had that before. So that is like the good way that you want someone to have a career with a team, right? Not to leave prematurely, not to get traded away and always like wonder what if. But like in that arc, you now have, you now do have a history to look to, right? Like you have an established proof of something that worked and like championship DNA, you might want to call it. But it's very intriguing to me because it isn't something that Toronto's necessarily had before, because usually it seemed like people left way too soon, you know, like before things could get proven. Well, there was a lot of heartache, heartbreak, you know, but this is the first time it's been in this promising light. So I think that's cool. I don't think that's hokey at all. We should start saying that.
Perfect. I'm glad I am not a cornball.
You are.
We're gonna continue on.
That was accurate.
Well, we're gonna continue on the cornball hour in just a second, and I want to kind of dive into sort of our hopes and dreams for this season and how things kind of coalesce on the floor once we start to see actual basketball in like a month's time with preseason games, which is very insane. We'll get to that in one sec, but first I want to tell everybody about our friends over at Built Bar, who are making the best tasting protein bars in the world. Katie, have you had any Built Bars yet? If you've like got
no
any
man
shipments?
I keep being like, send me a box, get them to send me
a
box.
Okay, we'll work on
that.
I don't
even
we'll
want
get
a,
you
box.
A box
just send me like
during
two
during one of these ads. Yeah, during these ads, you can eat one on the call to work in some nice sort of corporate synergy.
Happy to do
so,
it.
Yeah. Well, Katie, whenever we do get you a box sent your way, you're going to have 9 delicious flavors to choose from. You're going to have cherry barcia, mint brownie, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and a whole bunch more. It's very exciting for you. And if you don't know which flavor you want the most, like, yeah, the mix box is a great way to go. If you have one that you know you're going to love, maybe you just know for sure mint brownie is going to be your favorite, Katie. I don't know. Maybe you're a mint brownie stan. You can also order a full box of just a single flavor if you'd like. And, Katie, I should tell you that Built Bars, great tasting, also good for you. They have 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from just 130 to 180, and just 4 to 5 grams of sugar. Same goes for the carbs, just 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. That is awesome. I have Built Bars all the time before I go for bike rides and all that stuff, as I've slowly found my way getting back into shape for the first time in many, many years. Built Bars have been there to help me through it. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, LOCKED15, and get 15% off of your order. That's the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Go there, Katie! All right, well, today's show is also brought to you by our friends over at betonline.ag. It is that time of year once again, and all eyes are turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this year. Get all the updated props, odds, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor Contest, open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 100% welcome bonus. That is a great deal. You put in $100, you get $200 to play with. That is incredible. Also, be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. Make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Bucks and the Cowboys, and if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up using the promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from boxing, football, basketball, baseball, everything in between. Don't wait and sign up today to take advantage of all the great available offers for the 2021 season at betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Be sure to use the promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, for that 100% welcome bonus. All right, Katie, let's finish up our chat here and take a look at the season to come. You know, I think there's a lot of sort of varied expectations and sort of handicaps for wins that the Raptors are going to have coming into this season. I think the expectations are comparatively low to previous years, which is music to my ears because I love low expectations. I love just barely clearing the bar and having it be a success. It's fantastic. It's a great way to go through life. The Raptors, of course, are in a bit of a transition phase. No Kyle Lowry. We didn't really get to see full seasons of a lot of the guys last year. So my question for you, Katie, is as we go into this season, as the Raptors search for their identity once again, what are you hoping to see? Like, is there sort of a hallmark, a sort of event that will take place that will say to you, okay, they're back on the right track, they've gotten the train back on the rails, and, you know, there's a sort of identity forming here that resembles something I would like in the basketball team I like?
I don't want to say low expectations. I feel like realistic expectations. How about that?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, sure.
Granted, some people have extremely delusional expectations as their real expectations, but not me.
3 seed or bust. Yeah.
Well, I mean specifically when you look at the rookies, like, I don't want Scotty Barnes to have any like unrealistic or really deranged expectations placed on him in his first season. Like, I don't want him to be, I don't know, I don't want his career to, like, get off to a terrible start that way. I think that's, like, can be extremely toxic. So, for him, Delano.
If I hear a single person invoke the name Jalen Suggs when talking about Scotty Barnes this season, I'm going to lose my
mind. People will, but I'm not going to be paying much attention to that. Because also,
no,
comparing.
You're telling on yourself.
Like, comparing rookies in the same rookie class is also incredibly stupid because they're completely different people and players. So there's no comparison, but our dumb brains need to do that sometimes. No, I think you got to look at this as like, this isn't a rebuild, you know, this is like a regenerative year. So I think you have to look at it as there's going to be a lot of stumbles and mistakes and kind of, you know, strange things happening, but that's what you want because like Nick Nurse is going to have to try out a lot of weird lineups again, but like he's good at that now, so that's a positive. To figure out what a lot of these new guys' strong suits are, even players that joined toward the end of last season in Tampa, this is a completely different environment with like a completely different personnel backing them. So I think there's going to be a lot of adjustment at first to start, but again, like that's something I don't know. I really like watching weird basketball. Weird, not always like pretty, but like sometimes explosive, exciting. You don't really know what's going to happen. I mean, beautiful basketball is fun to watch too, but honestly, like if you're a Raptors fan, that's not really something in your lexicon usually, right? They're not a beautiful basketball
team to
watch.
Yeah, unless it's the 2017-18 season. Yeah. Like the culture reset year and nothing else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're like a pest. They're a pest team at the best of times, right? So that, I guess, is like where my expectations are. Again, like I think of something that Patrick said to me in Vegas, which was just like he wanted his team to be confident enough to fail and to like make mistakes and to realize that wasn't going to be the end of the world. I think there are certain players on the Raptors you don't want to see make mistakes this season. I won't name them. They're in their NBA careers. Like they should know what they are doing by now. But I have been heartened to see like, you know, some of their offseason activity and the ways it seems that they're more mentally prepared perhaps to go into this season than last season. But, you know, for these new guys coming in, I want to see them mess up. Like you have to do that kind of stuff to play, especially at this stage, this level, you know, and the speed. Delano said that too. He was like, you know, it's the NBA, like you're going to get beat. It's like what happens after you get beat and how do you get better that actually really counts. So I hope right. that people have a lot of patience. I know that's a difficult thing to have, like, in the world of pro sports, but I hope that people have a lot of patience for this team. And mm-hmm. just, like, enjoy watching a team, like, grow from scratch. That's not something that we've also seen for quite a long time.
Yeah, I think, you know, there have been so many seasons in a row now for the Raptors where the stakes have felt incredibly high and mm-hmm. it feels like everything's kind of teetering on the end result. And I don't think that's the case this year. I mean, yeah, there may be some tough decisions if things don't go well with the core guys this season and there's like no growth or whatever it is. And we're probably looking at some difficult conversations next summer. But first of all, I don't think that's terribly likely that the core guys are going to flail or anything like mm-hmm. that. I think it's far more likely that the struggles for this team come from, you know, the guys who they're just sort of bringing in and indoctrinating into the system, and it's going to take some time and growing pains, and that's okay. And you mentioned patience and how it's difficult, and I'm not here to tell anyone how to be a fan. You know, if you want to be a lunatic and get angry over every single loss, that's totally fine. You know, interact with the sport in whichever way pleases you the most. I would just advise, and I've made this point before, you know, no NBA story is complete in one season. Like, every season is sort of laying groundwork for the next. And I think there's no better example of how valuable patience can be and how much it can pay off for you than in the case of the last decade's Toronto Raptors, where they come in, they look like they're on the verge of a rebuild, and then something kind of clicks after the Rudy Gay trade, and they just let it ride. And they waited and saw what happened, and they tinkered and they suffered failure and they suffered triumph or experienced triumph. They didn't suffer triumph, or maybe if you are averse to success, maybe you could say that. But like they, you know, rode the roller coaster and it eventually 7 years later led to a title. That's not to say every 7 year arc is going to lead to a title for your team. It's not that narratively sort of, you know, convenient for everybody. But I do think it's worth looking at what patience can get you and the proven proof of concept that the Raptors just put together. And this season can be about that sort of first building block. And I'll keep coming back to it because Bobby Webster himself brought it up. It's the 2013-14 season all over again, right? Obviously new players, new guys, new sort of expectations, probably because they kind of leveled up as a franchise with the title win. And it's not going to be something where you can just kind of accept okay for a very long time. But this is the first step, and you're going to see Scottie Barnes have moments of great success and also, you know, looking like a rookie, as, you know, 20-year-olds do. And that's okay, because it's all kind of in pursuit of something bigger 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the line. Again, I'm sounding extremely hokey today, but I think these sort of bigger picture conversations about the team kind of require that a little bit. You know, any kind of last thoughts here, Katie, on that sort of concept of, you know, just kind of being okay with it not being some sort of championship or bust season for the first time in a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, it is kind of a new thing where, you know, not everything in terms of success, the ultimate grade of this season is not going to be hinged upon what the playoff outcome is per se.
Yeah, I think lean into hokiness this season seems appropriate. Mm-hmm. Last season was so dismal, right? Like, and downright yeah. really dark at times. And I think the natural inclination is to want to put that rapidly behind us. And the best way to do that, I think, is to be optimistic, be patient, and like enjoy what this process is going to look like. Like, yeah, it sucks to not be like an instant competitor or whatever, but like you had to know going into the season that that wasn't going to be the case, right? That wasn't really in the yeah. cards for the team, no matter what happened. Like, even if Lowry stayed, you know, they weren't ready to be back on that stage again. But this way, I think it's going to happen in a more meaningful way. You're building like a really strong foundation. So the hope is that you can repeat that kind of blueprint. You can hope to like bring maybe a star who's available in at some point down the road. Not this season. I don't mm-hmm. want them to bring in Ben Simmons this season. The team's not ready for it. And I think it would disrupt yep. very much the plans that are already in motion. Like, we have to just commit to it. I think that's hard too, right? Yeah. Like, you always want, like, the grass is always greener, right? But like, this is a situation in which you have to commit to the players that you have now in front of you, and you have to commit to their development, because like long term, like that's their careers too, right? Like, their careers mm-hmm. are going to hopefully go a lot farther and longer than just this one season. So mm-hmm. yeah, be patient, be optimistic, and just enjoy yourselves, guys.
Yeah. enjoy the gangly teens, you know, getting out there, getting after it, and winning games 47-43, or losing them 47-43. It will be delightful either way. Katie, this has been a delightful conversation. You need to go and perform your duties as Lane Swim influencers. Yeah. So I will let you go. Before we go, anything you want to promote for the people out there?
I guess if you haven't read that Delano profile that's on Yahoo Sports, you should read it. He's a delightful, wonderful person.
Yes, everyone go read that. Go read Katie Always, Basketball Feelings, all that good stuff. That's going to do it for the show this week. We'll be back again next week with a trio of episodes. I think we're going to check in with our pal Chris Manning from Locked On Cavs and do one of our traditional Let's Look at the Eastern Conference and Talk About It episodes. So that'll be next week. Our boy Big V will be back. Thoughts with our pal Vivek Jacob, who had an Achilles injury. Keep him out of the podcast this week, and hope he's doing all right and feeling better. We love Big V over here, and he should be back on the show next week as well. And I think our pal Josh Hart from Yahoo is going to jump in at some point next week too. We'll have a little chat. So that's the loose plan for next week. Topics TBD, because it's the off season and it's basically whatever I'm feeling that day. But in the meantime, until the next episode, you can follow me on Twitter at Woodley Sean. You can subscribe to the show on all your favorite podcast apps and on YouTube for free. Please go and do that. It's much appreciated. And we will talk to you again next week with another episode of Locked On Raptors. Bye-bye.